The first reading is taken from Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62, and it's taken from the New Revised Standard Version. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The second reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25, also from the New Revised Standard Version. "Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." This is the word of the Lord.
So, you know, when somebody has been to Kruger National Park and they come back and they're telling you about their trip, what happens within me is if their description of Kruger was just about seeing the big five, then I say to myself, I think you've missed the point of Kruger National Park. It's not a zoo you're going to kind of just tick off the big five. It's this huge ecosystem with many parts to it and many things to appreciate over and above just the big five. And sometimes the things that we perhaps all almost overlook can in fact be the most amazing. And I want to mention the ant. We pass the ant hills, but appreciate for a moment the ant can do things the elephant and rhino and so on can't do. The ant can pick up and carry and move things five times its size and five times its weight even. And can transform landscapes in incredible ways over time. Ants are high impact little creatures. And appreciating that and appreciating all of the diversity that is Kruger is important. And I begin there because I want to tell you about, on this Our Vision Sunday, I want to tell you about a church. And in the bigger scheme of things, this church is an ant, not something big, not like an elephant. That's the building that the church owned. They never built a church building. It's the Church of the Savior in Washington, D.C. Church of the Savior in Washington, D.C. It's not one of the bigger mega churches of the United States that you often get to hear about. So I heard about Church of the Savior many, many years ago because it's an example of a kind of church, a church that seeks to be a church of impact. And And we were being introduced to the different models of being church, the different ways of being church. And they used this example as a church of high impact. It was started in 1947, Gordon and Mary Cosby. And it was started with just 7 members, and they were never really focused on church growth. Their focus was high impact. And so each person who became a member, and it was quite a long process and involved a lot to be a member, was somebody who was having a high impact on society, and that's why they wanted to be part of that church. I want to tell you one story of their impact, a story that I really found quite amazing. So in this post-war area, there was something called a junior village in that area, which was a place where children were kept who didn't have parents or had to be removed from their parents. And there weren't foster homes for them. There weren't adoption places for them. So it was kind of a warehouse of all these children. And they set it as their goal to close down Junior Village. Close it down. Not because they didn't care about the children, but because they cared about the children so much. So they started to work with these children and work with Junior Village and meet needs. At that stage, this was about 10 years into their life, there were about 30 or 40 members of Church of the Savior. Almost each one of those members adopted a child from Junior Village. Then they went out into the area, and this took time, of course. They spoke to people in the neighborhoods, saying, shouldn't you be adopting a child from Junior Village? And eventually, I think it was took about 15 years, they closed Junior Village down because there were no more children without foster or adoptive homes. High impact done with 30 or 40 members of the church. Because that was their intention, was to be a high-impact church. Now, at that church, one of the core focus statements is to talk about the integrity of membership. The integrity of membership. And that's why I tell the story about them. Not because we're going to try and be like Church of the Savior. We're a very different church. But because they seek to have high impact, and we sense God is calling us to that and has been calling us to that for some time. But particularly this year, there is a focus on the integrity of membership. What does it mean to be a member of Trinity Methodist Church? And are you ask yourself, fulfilling what it means to be a member of the church? To be a member of that church was an enormous process and a whole lot of elements to it. And that's why they never grew very large. But they had high impact. I'm not going to go through what it meant to be a member there. But you received a fridge magnet. And if you didn't receive it, please make sure you get it on your way out. 7 practices of being a member of Trinity Methodist Church. 7 practices. And we are saying that this is a year in which we really want all of our members to take all 7 seriously. Then we can have impact. Then being a member of this church can have integrity. On this fridge magnet, and you would have heard it also in the reading, are these words from Hebrews chapter 10. Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. You don't often hear the word provoke followed by something positive. You know, when somebody says, I want to provoke, it's normally followed by something negative. But here, let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. That's a lovely word, provoke. It conjures up in English, and it certainly is helping us appreciate what the original intention was. In the original intention, you know, it's about how to arouse us to love and good deeds, how to stir it up, how to sharpen, how to challenge, how to inspire, how to spur on, how to urge, how to stimulate to love and good deeds. Now, you might be feeling that's kind of familiar. I really want to say this to you. What is the most important thing in your life? Take that as a serious question for a moment. What is the most important thing in your life? What's the most important pursuit of your life? What are you aiming for? What's it all about? If you say, I've arrived, what have you arrived at? What are you journeying towards? I want to say to you, please remember this. What is the most important thing for any human being? And that is that you become more loving. That you become more loving. There is nothing more important for any human being. God is love. For us to become more loving. You and I should have that as our goal, and that we are growing in being loving. We should be the kind of people, and I hope for many you are, and I'm encouraging you in this, that would say, you know, at a certain point in my life some years ago, I could not love a certain group of people. But I have grown, and now I can love that group of people. That we have testimonies that say, you know, at a certain point in my life, I did good things, I did loving things, but it was only really when people were watching and I got kind of, people thought well of me when I did it. But now I have grown. I will do the loving thing even when people think poorly of me for doing it. And so it can go on. That our life story is a story of becoming more loving. And if the church is not helping us with that, then the church has missed its calling. Whatever you think about and talk about when you talk about church, let this be the most important thing. That my church is provoking me to be more loving. That has to be the core of why you are here and what we are trying to do in your life. And what we are trying to do together, what journey we are on, to be provoked to love and good deeds. Let me put it this way, to go with a slightly different dimension. I told you that we learn about different models of being church. There's another kind of model of being church that's the other end of the spectrum. If you put, you know, Church of the Savior is a radical example at the one end of the spectrum. The radical example at the other end of the spectrum are churches which are normally very big. And for them, what's their intention is to meet the felt needs of the members, to be popular, to give the members what they want. That when you're in a meeting in that church, that's all they ever talk about. What do our people want? How can we serve? How can we give our people what they want? And so what that is a consumer kind of Christianity. That members come and they consume what the church gives. Now, we as Trinity would want to say we're trying to find a faithful, middle, realistic ground between those two extremes. And at the core of it, what will keep us on track is if we remember that we are here to provoke one another to love and good deeds. I want to begin this move with a story at my own expense. And soon, very soon, like I think it was days after I got my license to drive, my mom, we were a single parent family, lent the car to me. And I think I still had to take her to work, leave her at work. I went back home, got things together for my errands for the day, and then set off. And I'd just gone round the corner from our house, and I saw the video cassette that I was taking back to the video shop lying on the floor, kind of rolling around there. And so I leant, one hand on the steering wheel, leant over to pick it up. Yes, hit into the pavement, buckled the rim, immediately flat tire, buckled rim. I was devastated. I didn't know how I was going to break this to my mom. It was a terrible, terrible, terrible moment for me. One of the things I did that day to try and fix this problem was go to a church and pray for the healing of this room. It didn't work. Now, Jesus gets us to think about something similar. It was a story from his day. He said, nobody who puts their hand to the plow, and looks back is fit for the kingdom. Because you can't plow a straight furrow if you're looking back. So it's a picture about faithfulness and staying focused in faithfulness and not having divided allegiance. Now, in that passage and in many of Jesus' teaching, he's often on about divided allegiance. He wants for his followers to be followers, not saying, I follow you, Jesus, but at other times of the day or other times of the week or in other contexts, I'm really not following you so much and will inevitably have to make a whole lot of compromises. But at certain points, I'm following you. Jesus will say, that is turning back from the plow that you've put your hands to. Now, we all have done that, and we all still do that. But we are called to grow, and we are called to grow in faithfulness. And in that, it's sometimes helpful to just be specific as a faith community. There are certain things that we are saying is particularly at the core of what it means to be faithful for us in our life together. And some of these might seem, too granular for you. But this is Vision Sunday, and we are talking about Trinity Methodist Church and the journey we are on. So something that has been really big for us in the call, in the build-up to this year, has been about under-resourced communities, poor communities, and how we can help with evangelism and discipleship in those communities. That we are feeling is core to faithfulness at the moment. And it ties in deeply with Jesus and his ministry because his attention was always on the suffering ones. And remember, suffering ones sometimes have suffered so much that their spirits have been broken and they've given up on God. And so there's important evangelism and disciple-making to do in suffering communities. Because in the kingdom, there is diversity. We are called to honor that, celebrate that diversity, be a people who enjoy and appreciate differences. Now that's a journey you're familiar with. We started it last year. It's our One Heart, Many Voices journey. And we feel, as leadership, we've done well, but there is more to be done in this space so that it becomes more and more part of the DNA of our church, because that would make us reflect the kingdom. That's core to being loving, is that one is loving across boundaries. Now the next one is going to seem crude, but it is necessary to be there as part of Trinity Methodist Church. About our finances. And the thing is this, to the extent that this is important in your life, that you be a part of a faith community focused on what is most important, namely love, that faith community needs resources and to be supported. And the problem is this, we have some members who support and some members who don't. And remember, this year we're talking about the integrity of membership. And this is an area that has to be resolved. This is our roots, if you were imagining us as a plant, and those roots need to be strengthened so that they can survive storms and so that we can branch out more and survive a bigger tree. And so, one gives according to one's means. Some can give thousands, others can give a few rand. But as long as everyone is giving, then we have resolved financial problems. And then, because we don't do any of this on our own strength, this isn't salvation by our own effort. It's the Spirit of God at work. There are many resources at Trinity that nurture you in your inward and your outward journey. Nurture your spirituality, nurture your disciple-making movement, work in the world, your loving deeds in the world. Many of those are overlooked by members. So a big part of this year is to bring these things to your attention so that you can make the most of what this church is offering. What is most important is to be a loving person. To the extent that you become more loving, you will have more impact. To the extent that we are a collection of people who are loving, we will have impact. And that, we believe, is what God is calling us to, is the heartbeat of what God is calling us to. Will you be part of that in 2026? Amen.